Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you again for as we approach another Thanksgiving Day, Lord, a day that is set aside in this country, uniquely American celebration, dear Heavenly Father, set aside that we might give you the praise and the honor and the glory that you do every day. Lord, as we come here this morning to present this gospel message, dear Heavenly Father, glorify yourself. Lord, let your anointing richly flow, that the words that come out, the words that are spoken, the words that are heard, will join together, and that you will be glorified with all that is said and done. As hearts are moved, minds are changed, and souls are saved, to the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. Today, if you would, please turn your Bibles to the book of Psalm 30, to the 30th Psalm. Psalm 30, verses 1 through 12. Psalm 30, verses 1 through 12. And our key verse will be verse 12, but I'm going to read the entire text. Verse 1 in the King James Bible. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Verse 5, for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. Verse 8, I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put my sackcloth and girded, thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers and doers and hearers of his word. Amen. Today we're going to talk about when praise is your purpose. When praise is your purpose. When you see that last verse, our key verse, verse 12, he says, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. He goes, the bottom line is, he said, the destination is, because you know when you're a kid, our kids, we would take them for Christmas, we take them over here to Interlochen. Okay, now we just live over by the General Motors plant. But now that they're old, they're like, you know, when we would load up the van, and we'd have hot chocolate and candy and popcorn and stuff. And see, they just thought about the destination. And they said, they thought they were going on a road trip. We're going 15 minutes down the street, y'all. But the destination, once you understand what the destination is, he says, my end is, he goes, I was put here to praise God. You know, people write books. They write series of books on the purpose of, because everybody's saying, Pastor, what's my purpose? Pastor, what should I be doing? It ain't that deep, y'all. Just go right there to verse 12. What should you be doing? What is the end of all of creation? To praise God. And give him thanks. That's it. So should I do this or should I do, does it praise God? Does it bring glory to God? Don't ask me. Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Ask yourself, you know. You know when you're creeping out the door, you know I probably shouldn't do this. But you do it anyhow. But you know your purpose, my purpose, is to praise God and give him thanks. So we're going to talk about when praise is your purpose. And when praise, we got four little segments here. We said when praise is your purpose, the first thing you're going to want to do is promote the things of God. When praise is your purpose, you're going to want to promote the things of God. When praise is your purpose, you're going to put things in proper perspective. When praise is your purpose, prayer becomes personal. When praise is your purpose, I like this part. When praise is your purpose, praise becomes public. Joker told me years ago, he said, well, I'm a Christian, but my religion is private. I said, that's a lie. Because witnesses, unless you're in the witness protection program, you're supposed to be saying something out in public about Jesus. Amen? Amen. These 12 verses, I've been playing in my dictionary. Let me get that definition. I've been playing in my dictionary. So these 12 verses here, we refer to this as a compendium. You like that? That makes you think your pastor is edumacated. Amen. Skip that. Don't believe it. Compendium, a collection of concise but detailed information about a particular subject. That's what we're doing here today. We're talking about praise. And we're going to keep it real basic, real simple, real concise. You got four things here. Praise promotes the things of God. Praise puts things in proper perspective. Praise makes prayer personal. Praise becomes public. We're going to talk about praise and thanksgiving, church. Praise and thanksgiving. Let's start off with verses 1 through 4. 1 through 4. Talk about when praise is your purpose, we want to promote the things of God. When you are in love with Jesus, when you are in love with the things of God, you know, one of the worst things you can say is, I don't like to go to church because of the people. Where do you get that from? You part of the people. And if it's that bad, you part of the problem. The people of God should want to be around the people of God so that we can encourage one another. You got to admit you got problems just even to get saved. You got to say, I'm a sinner. Well, come on in. That's what we need, more trouble. But until you even come to the understanding that you have issues, you cannot get saved. The folks who don't come to church are the folks who say, I'm okay. But y'all, I got issues. But I bring them all here to the cross. And I say, Lord, fix me. I look in the mirror. I know what I see in the mirror. I used to see somebody with hair. And I thought he was all handsome and good looking. And then reality came in. Somebody turned the light on. The word of God turns the light on. Amen, amen. And then you understand, I need Jesus. I need help. And hear the psalmist. And understand, this Old Testament, so this is talking specifically to the Jews, but it's talking in application to our lives as well. He says, in verse 1, where we talk about promote the things of God, promoting the things of God. He says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes rejoice over me. It starts off, I've skipped the first part, but I want to bring it to your attention. It says a song of the dedication of the house of David. This is King David after possibly a lengthy sickness. It could have been a physical sickness. It might have been a depression kind of sickness, but the theologians are kind of ambivalent on just exactly what it is. But we kind of come to the understanding that when David wrote this song, he had just gone through something, y'all. Understand, David was a warrior. David was a king. David was a mighty man, but he was also a man after God's own heart. He was a man after God's own heart. And even a man after God's own heart has to deal with stuff. We're in a fallen world, y'all. There's always something to deal with. And so what we do when we look at these psalms, and we see where David, it's like, I have made up my mind. When praise is when praise is your purpose, at some point in time, church, at some point in time, we have to leave everything else behind. At some point in time, we got to say, I will lift up the name of Jesus no matter what. He said, I will extol thee. Well, wait a minute. What if somebody else says, well, that's not the one true and living God? I don't care. What if somebody else says, well, Jesus was a fake? I don't care. I will lift up the name of Jesus because I know what Jesus has done in my life, and I've watched his work, I've read his work, but I know I am fully persuaded, so therefore I will. And we all have to get to that point at some point. I joked about being in the witness protection program, but at some point we got to stop being in the witness protection program. We got to stop being undercover Christians. And it's got to stand out wherever you go and whatever you do. When you open your mouth, when you walk in the voting booth, when you go to your job, when you go to the family reunions, be careful at the family reunions, amen. But you got to lift up Jesus. That's our end. That's our purpose. And as soon as you get a grip on that, and don't take it lightly, because when the Bible says Jesus said, going to the cross is my joy, he said, I came for this purpose, to seek and to save that which is lost. And seeking was, from my standpoint, the easy part. But the save part, that's what he went to the cross for. Amen. He said, I came here knowing full well what I'm going to get. And yet, and still, I purposed in my heart to do it. The psalmist says, I will promote and put the things of God up front for the whole world to see and talk about. I will. And he says, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Y'all do know some folks happy to see you fail. You know there's some folks out there who, they're just dying to see you lose your job. Oh, so your kids went crazy too. I've been waiting for it. I've been praying. I've just been waiting on it. You got to understand, y'all. When the psalmist, this is human nature. This is just human nature he's talking about. He's saying, he goes, Lord, as good a man as David was, as godly a man as David was, and we all know where he's going. He says, my enemies were just waiting for me to slip. They were just waiting for me to fall down so they could have a hallelujah good time over my fall and my troubles. He says, but you, in the picture when it says you have lifted me up, if you translate that word literally, I don't know if any of y'all are old enough or if you've seen any pictures of it. You ever seen a bucket in a wishing well? They got the bucket and then they let it down on the little thing. That's the literal connotation of this word. Thou hast lifted me up. It's like he dropped the bucket down, and David got into the bucket, and God, and he went up. And he looked, and his enemies are down there. His enemies are down there, and God lifted him up. And now, y'all, this joy cannot be contained. He said, Thou hast lifted me up and has not made my foes to rejoice over me. Oh, Lord, my God. There's many gods. There's many lords. There's many gods. When the Apostle Paul went into Athens, when he went into the city of Athens, and he said he was astounded when he went into Athens, and he said, there was a God line. There was a line of idols. There was a God for everything out there. If you think he was astonished with that, let him come to America today. Let him come to America. Let him go to San Francisco, the most unchurched city in the nation. You hear me? One of the wealthiest cities, the most unchurched city in the United States of America. And don't want to hear about the one true and living God. But guess what? We got Brother Jake and Sister Haley next August. They're going out there to San Francisco.
missionaries to San Francisco? Oh, yes. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to extol the name of Jesus. They're going to lift up the name of Jesus. You think there's not going to be anybody there who's going to rejoice at their fall if they don't make it? There's going to be there. But guess what? Through the power of God and prayer of the saints, and yours, he says, you may, oh Lord God, oh my God, God becomes personal. And Paul said in Athens, he said, let me tell you folks about the unknown God. That's your job. That's my job. That's your job. Because no matter where you go to the family reunion, I guarantee you, you go to the family reunion. You got family members there who tell you, Jesus is not the one and only way to God. He's not. Now, what you going to do about it? You going to just eat your little ham, eat your little turkey? Or are you going to extol the name of Christ? I'm not asking y'all to cause a big fuss at the family reunion. What y'all do about Brother Mike? Here's what Brother Mike does. When he gets to the family reunion, he goes, y'all, I need 15 minutes. Give me 15 minutes to talk about Jesus. I'm through, then we can all have a good time. Amen. You got to say something, y'all. You can't come from, one person coming from Texas, coming from Atlanta, Tennessee, and then they sit there and they boldly tell you of their heathenness. They boldly tell you of their ungodliness. In fact, tell you, oh, you tell them, they're staying at your house, and you tell them, well, we're going to get up in the morning and go to church, and you stay home because your ungodly cousin, brother, uncle, or whatever, say, well, I don't go to church because, you know, all the hypocrites over there. Tell them, come on. We got room for one more. Come on. But you and I, we have to extol. We have to lift up the name of Christ. And you have to. This is for what you are saved. It's to this end. It's to this end that I'm saved. I have no other real function in this world other than to proclaim, praise, and thank God to everybody I meet. That's just it, y'all. If all Jesus could think about was setting his eyes like flint and going to the cross to be executed on my behalf, but Paul says it's the least we can do is present our bodies a living sacrifice. Amen. Promote the things of God, verses 1 through 4. Oh, Lord, verse 3, verse 2. Oh, Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. He said he's giving God credit for taking care of whatever this sickness was, whatever this situation was. He goes, God, you did it. I'm sure he sought some physicians, and I'm sure there's many of us in here. We believe in doctors. We believe in medicines. But we also know for a fact, if God don't touch, it's not going to happen. If God does not touch, it's not going to happen. So find yourself a good doctor. Take the best medicines that they have available. Don't be afraid of that. They called him Luke the physician. You know, many Christians say, well, I don't believe in doctors. They called him Luke the physician. They didn't call him Luke the quack. They said Luke the physician. So they had physicians even back then who knew some more stuff about medicine than what the average person does. Amen? So we believe in doctors. We believe in medicine. But we know, ultimately, God has to heal. If you're going to get healed, God has to heal. Oh, Lord, verse 3, oh, Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, and that I should not go down to the pit. He said, God, you have redeemed me. And then he says, sing unto the Lord. Look at what he does here. Verse 4. When you get real happy, you want everybody else to sing with you. He said, sing unto the Lord. It says right there, oh ye saints, even in the Old Testament, he's calling people saints. How come there's certain denominations out there now say you can't be a saint till you've been dead for a certain amount of time, you've done X amount of miracles? Once you believe on the name of Jesus Christ, they believed in the coming of Messiah. We believe that Messiah has come. Therefore, you know what that makes you? Even with all of our foibles, with all of our things that we have going on. That makes you a saint. Praise God. Look in the mirror and say, I'm a saint. I'm a saint. Now live up to it. Amen. That's the hard part, living up to it. But whatever, you are. When you believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, he rose from the dead, paying for your sins, you are a saint in God's eyes. David says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. That word, give thanks, in this text, literal translation, open hand, slap with God. Y'all know the Bible tell you to give God a high five? He says, sing unto the Lord, verse 4, O ye saints of his, and give thanks. Open hand, boom. God, thank you. I got up this morning, bam, thank you. I woke up and looked there. My wife was still there. She hadn't ran out. Thank you. Kids got up this morning, came to church. Thank you. God, you're so good. Do y'all know how much stuff could go wrong overnight? Talk to Sister Bernadine one time. She's a 911 operator. You don't know what all kind of hell breaks loose at night. And you got up this morning. You ought to be shouting, God, thank you. Thank you. I got up and I put on my own clothes. Thank you. This is not a little thing. See, and David, he's been sick, y'all. He's been sick for a long time. And we don't know how long, but we know he's been sick. And he said, I was so sick, I was almost in the depths of the pit. And you cranked me up and brought me on out. Thank you. Thank you. And he says, in verse 4, he says, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. What gives him that joy? What gives this psalmist the joy that he has? When he says, thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Here's something, you know, I told y'all a little bit earlier. I said, we don't get into top my tribulation. Because understand, everybody's got tribulation. Everybody's got tribulation. But he says, I will give thanks at the remembrance of your holiness. The only way you can give God thanks for his holiness is if you and I make a conscious effort. Don't miss this. If we make a conscious effort to remember, to forget some of the trials. See, you can't thank God for his goodness while you wallowing back here talking about I'm a victim of whatever it is. Oh, woe is me. Oh, woe is me. If that's where you want to go, then you're remembering that. You're not remembering his holiness. You're not remembering how your mom and daddy, I looked at my daddy's paycheck. How you feed 10 people with this? I can't feed a dog with this. And I never went hungry. Lived in the same house my whole 18 years there. Had the same phone number. But I just watched him go to work. Get up in the morning, go to work. Come back, grab a sandwich, go to work. Y'all, I can't complain about nothing. My goodness. I see, I've been called names by people. My own family called me names, big deal. But you know what? I have to make a decision. I have to remember to forget that stuff so I can remember God's holiness and how good he is and how far he has brought me. And I don't look back because he has brought me a mighty long way, y'all. And he's a good God. And he said, what I've done for him, I'll do for anybody. He said, just call on me. Extol my name. Lift me up. Not you, lift me up. And I will take care of you. Remember to forget. There's some stuff you just got to let go. I was watching a great program that was produced, executively produced by Daryl Strawberry and was it Chris? Eric Davis. Eric Davis. Two baseball greats. I'm not a baseball fan. We're looking for something to watch. But I knew about Daryl Strawberry. I didn't know about Eric Davis. These guys, and y'all write this down because it was a great, great movie. It was called Harvard Park. Harvard Park. So I guess they might have it on Netflix or something. I don't know. But they were just talking about how these two guys, it was three of them. The other guy's name escapes me right now. But these three pro baseball players all grew up in the same neighborhood, all played on the same Little League team. Okay? Three great baseball players. And the story was about how they went back into the neighborhood and they would do their spring training in the neighborhood. And they were training up kids and stuff. And several of the kids in the neighborhood that they trained had very profitable minor league careers, and some of them made it into the big leagues. But these guys, I mean, and they all came into the league like in the 80s. And man, they talked about how they were abused and, you know, some of the racial stuff that went on. And Eric Davis, he was just very, very astute. He was very, very astute. There's a whole lot in this program, but I'm going to tell you the part that hit me, that really hit me. He was talking about Jackie Robinson. And he said, hey, if not for Jackie Robinson, he said, none of us would be here. He said, he opened the door for all of us. He said, we are who we are. We made the millions that we made because of Jackie Robinson. And so, but then Eric Davis said, he said, but understand, y'all. He said, while people are talking about Jackie, he said, don't forget Branch Rickey, the owner of the Dodgers. He said, y'all got to understand. He said, do you realize how much hate mail he got? Do y'all realize how many death threats he got? He said, so listen, put things in perspective. Amen. Amen. We don't like to hear that, but that's all right. That's just the way. And I listened to him and said, man, this guy's thoughtful. But what he chose to do when the owner of the Cincinnati Reds referred to him with something in a derogatory slur, he said, you know, here I am 22 years old. He said, I don't know what to do. He said, but I had to learn how to be selective in what I kept in my head. I had to be selective. Y'all, train up your children. Train up your children not to have thin skin. I wish to God this nation was perfect. I really do. I really do. But then we'd have to leave because it'd be messed up. But understand, don't raise your children to be thin skinned. Because the people who are already on top, both colors, all colors, they made it. What I want to tell my children is, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. And he uses all kinds of folk to do what he does. You can do this, church. Remember to forget and give God the praise that he's due, the holiness that he's due. Amen. Verse 5, put things in proper perspective. Put things in proper perspective. Verse 5, chapter 5, verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Think about this. What came to my mind was, I remember some days when my mama used to whip me so bad, I thought she was going to kill me. And because there were no laws back then against it. So I was like, man, she, this is awful. This is awful. But then a few hours go by, who's calling me in for supper? That she fixed with love. He said, you make a little bit mad. I mean, when she mad, okay? But you're still her child. And she said, okay, now we took care of that little bit of business. Now it's time to eat. The Bible says, weeping may tarry. Weeping, you know, bad times come, y'all. Everybody deals with bad times. Christian folks, good folks, godly folks, we deal with bad times. But understand, trouble don't last always. There's an end to it. There's an end to it, and God will give you a way out. And the way that you, the primary way you get out of that trouble, the primary way you get out of that woe is you remember to call on his holiness. You look to the heavens. That's where your help comes from. Not over here. Not, it's to the heavens, y'all. And God is just good. And so he goes, that weeping, he acknowledges we end up with sickness. Some folks got some serious sicknesses. We end up with financial stuff. We end up with family situations where it will push you to the brink. You will think you're just about to lose your mind, but if you can put it in the proper perspective, it's not going to last always. You have this. So many of our young people today are taking permanent solutions to temporary problems, y'all. In epidemic numbers, our youth are destroying their own lives in epidemic numbers because we're not giving them the hope that there's a better tomorrow. If you're whining and groaning, how are they going to think that tomorrow's going to be better? I'm just going to be like you, whining and groaning. But that joy, oh, let them see that joy. Because they see the adversity. Everybody sees the adversity. But here's the difference. How do you handle the adversity? How do you handle it? You're going to handle it with joy? And you can cry. In fact, when you have a tough situation, you have a death in the family, you lose a job, you, man, and when you, I tell you what, a real topper is when you lose your job because somebody else did you wrong. I mean, somebody else set you up like a bowling pin and you lost your job. You be thinking, oh, it hurts. It hurts, y'all. But see, if you dwell on that, you can't dwell about how God got you that job in the first place and how God will get you another job when you need one. Amen. So at some point, you have to have the proper perspective that weeping only lasts for the night, but joy. And do you see a limitation on the joy? He said, joy comes. He doesn't say joy come and stop. He said, joy comes. It cometh. That's why that's the King James stuff, that King James stuff. It cometh. That means it's continuously coming. The joy, when you're down, I want you to know, when you're down, the joy is on its way. It's coming. But you got to be ready and willing to receive it, church. There's so much joy around here. So much, we are so blessed in this country. I told you when that boy said to me, well, he was talking to the congregation, he said, I'm in jail. I'm thinking I'm in the Holiday Inn. I got 3 hots in a cot. I'm living the life. And the rest of that story is, this is how good God is. Here's a man came from the Sudan. He didn't even know what bail was. He thought when he was in jail, he thought it was pretty good. And when he went, this was back in the days when nobody had cell phones, and he was in jail, and he had to make a collect phone call. He had to make a collect phone call. He don't know anybody in Dallas. So they give him a list of lawyers. You up now because they had a ceremony for him yesterday. He picked the name off the list, David Schiller. It didn't say Rabbi David Schiller, it said David Schiller. And he called that number. Collect. How many of y'all gonna answer the telephone? A collect call from the city jail? I don't think so. And none of your children are there? I don't think so. He got a collect call from Dallas City Jail. And Thomas said, I said hello to him. I started explaining to him everything. He said, and Rabbi Schiller said, do you need a lawyer? He said, I'm getting ready to try to get to the bail part. He said, because they told me I need. He said, well, do you need a lawyer? And he said, oh, yeah. And Rabbi Schiller said, I'll be there. Y'all hear me? Y'all hear how good God is? Rabbi Schiller said, I'll be there. And Thomas, I'm listening to this out of Thomas's mouth. Thomas, I'm like, whoa, what, okay. So he came. And then in order for him to get legal, Rabbi Schiller, who's not a immigration lawyer, he wrote up all this stuff to get this man legal asylum in the United States. And then Rabbi says, he said, okay, I see who the judge is going to be. And it's this judge who to that time had never, ever, ever granted anybody asylum on that basis. ever. But God. But God, y'all. What a mighty God we serve. See, so when trouble come, when trouble come and it makes you, it throws you off, it always throws you off balance. But when trouble comes, get back flat foot and start remembering God's holiness. And you remember his holiness and remember how he brought you. Remember how he saved you. Remember how when you were lost in sins and he said, and you said, Lord, will you take me? I'm a mess. I'm an absolute mess. Will you take me? And he said, I'll take you. Come on. He said, come. He says, though your sins be like scarlet, come on. I'll wash you and I'll clean you white as snow. Man, that's the kind of God we serve, y'all. Don't be dismayed. That trouble comes, but don't be dismayed when it comes. Get your mindset. Get your mindset. Promote the things of God. Put things in proper perspective. Verses 8 and 10. He says, I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. We talked about it last week in Psalm 77, where the psalmist said he cried, and God gave him an ear. God bent to listen to his cry. He said, I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. He said, when praise is your purpose, prayer becomes personal. You aren't just doing one of those Our Father which art in heaven things. You're saying, Lord, I got some trouble. I need help. And Lord, I need you. Amen. It becomes very, very personal. And the psalmist says, when I cried unto the Lord, I made supplication. And here was my prayer. The Bible says sometimes you get to reason with God. Come on, let's sit down. Let us reason one with another. He goes, and look, I love this. The psalmist is saying to God, he's talking to God. He's having a conversation with God. He says, God, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Look what he's saying. I'm going to give you in the modern day translation. He said, God, my purpose is to praise you. You put me here to praise you. And Lord, if I die, if I go down in the pit, who's going to be here to praise you? he's negotiating with God, y'all. He said, Lord, think about this. If Moses did it. Moses did it in the wilderness when the children of Israel rebelled against God. In the book of Numbers, they rebelled against God. And God said, I'll just kill them all, make you a whole new batch, Moses. Give you all new people. And Moses said, Lord, wait a minute. Lord, if you do that, they're going to say you weren't able. You brought us out, but you weren't able to keep us. The psalmist is saying right here, he says, Lord, if I die, what glory do you have that I can't give you? See, church, when you understand your end, when you understand that you were born to praise. Praise is our purpose. And so when you're not doing it, see, we get real concerned about it when we're not able. But when you're able, will you give God your voice? Will you give God your service? That's one thing the men and the women of this church, y'all serve the Lord, and y'all do it with gladness. We don't have a whole lot of grumbling and mumbling, and it's a wonderful thing. It's a joy, but now we want it to be an infectious joy. We want more people to understand the joy of serving God. It's not drudgery. It's not, I got to get up in the morning and go to church. No, you don't got to get up in the morning and go to church. You ought to want to get up in the morning and go to church and be with the people of God and serve the Lord. We talk about promote the things of God. Put things in proper perspective. Prayer becomes personal. He says, hear, O Lord. Verse 10, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Lord, I want you to come and take care of me. Lord, I've given it my best. I've given it the best I can give it. And this is all I have to show for it. Lord, would you please come and take my burdens and carry me through. Lord, would you please. Verse 11, he talks about the process of what God has done. He says, Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Look at the antithetical statements here. Look at how these things are total counter opposites of one another. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. He says, I was crying all through the night. I was crying all through the night. When the doctor told me what he told me, I couldn't help but cry. The Bible says that my pillow was my tears were my meat. That's what the other psalmist says. He says, I just cried. He said, but you took my mourning. You took my moaning. You took my mourning and you turned it into dancing. You put off my sackcloth. Sackcloth is what they used to put on whenever they were in grief, whenever they were something bad was going on. They would literally wrap themselves in this cloth, this shroud, that way everybody knew that you were in mourning. When somebody died, when something bad happened, everybody knew that you were in mourning because you were wrapped up in this sackcloth. And he says, you took my sackcloth off and then you wrapped me up with something else. You girded me with gladness. You gave me joy. Church, I can't emphasize enough. If there's not enough joy in your life, then open up your eyes and open up your arms to the Word of God, and he will trade in, just like taking in your old raggedy hoopty car. He said, here, I got this raggedy hoopty car. He says, and here, I'm going to give you a brand new one. Okay, Lord, I got this mourning. Okay, here, you can walk out the door with some dancing. Oh, Lord, I got this sackcloth. You can walk out the door with gladness. Come into my house with praise and thanksgiving. Oh, God has given us gladness. He says, when praise is your purpose, you want to promote the things of God. When praise is your purpose, you put things in proper perspective. When praise is your purpose, prayer becomes personal. When praise is your purpose, praise becomes public. Verse 11, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God. I will give thanks unto thee forever. That takes you right back to verse 1. I will extol the things of God. He goes, I will not be quiet. My favorite prophet, Jeremiah. Jeremiah just kept getting beat, y'all. Every time Jeremiah would give a prophecy, every time Jeremiah would preach, you know what the thank you they give him? They would throw him back in jail. And feed him with the bread of affliction. That means old, moldy, nasty, crusty bread. In jails, you know, I told you a boy thought he was in the Holiday Inn in jail. Jeremiah was in a pit. And every time he raised up his voice to say something, that he'd say, thus saith the Lord. And they say, okay, you know what? Get back in that pit. And understand, y'all, you will be treated, if you stand for God, if you stand for him, understand, there will be situations where you'll be treated the same way. But don't worry about it. Because if praise is your purpose, you got to make it public. They would tell Jeremiah, shut up, Jeremiah. Get back down in there or we'll do something worse for you. And then Jeremiah said, you know, he's okay. Okay. Now, don't forget, y'all, he's serving the one true and living God. Isn't God supposed to protect me from all this stuff? Isn't God supposed to keep me from getting slapped, beat, stomped, thrown in the dungeon? Isn't God supposed to do that? Isn't God supposed to keep my family from getting sick? Isn't God supposed to keep my kids from going crazy? Sounds like I kind of served the same God that Jeremiah served. Jeremiah couldn't hear him for a little while. But even though he couldn't hear him for a little while, you know what Jeremiah did? Jeremiah said, okay, I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm not going to tell anybody. And then you get to that text where Jeremiah says, okay. It's like a fire. Shut up. Inside of my bones. Y'all, he He says, the word of God is so much in me, through me, and about me, I cannot shut up. Even though I know they're going to beat me, even though I know they're going to throw me in jail, I know I'm going to get ostracized from my family. I say, for the glory of God, so what? And that's what Jeremiah did, y'all. And that's what the psalmist is saying to us. Be not silent. Be not silent. Don't be silent in the voting booth. Don't be silent with your family. Don't be silent with your friends. Be not silent. Stand up for the things of God. Stand up for God's righteousness. It's going to cost you. But understand, this is the end for which we were saved, to glorify God. Because understand, each and every one of us that's in here that's saved today, each and every one of us that's in here that's saved today, I want you to understand, somebody who gave you the gospel had to take some stuff to give you the gospel. You understand? Grandma, auntie, preacher, somebody somewhere had to take the hard looks and the hard words of people telling them, oh, stop wasting time believing in that fairy tale. You don't think it was going on? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. And they persevered, and they told you, and they told me. Sometimes they didn't get it exactly right, y'all, but you know what they did get right? They told you, if you believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead, you shall be saved. They gave you the good news, church. They gave you the good news. When praise is your purpose, at some point, we all have to join in with the psalmist. And I want y'all to repeat after me. Verse 12. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever, forever. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.